Well, again, good morning. It is a joy to be with you this morning for worship. Just a few points of confession. I'll get it out of the way up front. I grew up here in Wisconsin, but now live in the state of Illinois. And for that, I'm sorry. I am the fourth of six children. My mom's family has been in the city of Milwaukee for generations. And four of my siblings, the two oldest and the two youngest, still live in the city of Milwaukee. One of my brothers lives in Summit, right near here. And I am hitherto the only one of the six of us who has crossed the border into some other state. And whether that makes me brave or a traitor, I will leave for you to decide. I know that you've been working your way through the Gospel of John this summer, and obviously we just baptized Verity Ruth Hess, and if you look around, as you already have, you can see that Vacation Bible School is coming up, so I thought that it would be fitting this morning to consider some of the words of our Lord to and about children. Last year, my church, First Presbyterian Church of Aurora, down in the geographically inferior state of Illinois, preached a series through the Gospels called Embracing the Heart of Our Beautiful Savior. And one of the earliest sermons in that series focused on Matthew 11, where Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And that passage raised, and this morning raises for us, an important question. How must we come? One important way of answering that question can be found in the Gospel of Mark. So if you have your Bible, please open it with me to Mark chapter 10, and we're going to be reading verses 13 through 16. The Gospel of Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Before we read, will you please join me in prayer? Almighty God and most merciful Father, we humbly submit ourselves to you and fall down before your majesty, asking you from the bottom of our hearts that this seed of your word, now sown among us, may take such deep root that neither the burning heat of persecution cause it to wither, nor the thorny cares of this life choke it, but that as seed sown in good ground, it may bring forth 30, 60, or 100 times what is sown, as your heavenly wisdom has appointed. We pray through Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. A few months ago, I was sitting at home late one evening, a little after 10 p.m. I have four kids, all girls. Our cat's a girl too. I'm the only male in the house. So we'd put the kids to bed. My wife, Lindsay, and I were in the process of getting ready for bed. We hadn't gone upstairs yet. And all of a sudden, I heard a car make a pretty sharp turn into our driveway. It wasn't just somebody pulling into our driveway to turn around. You know, that happens every now and again. Someone's going the wrong way, and so they use your driveway to turn around. Because these people pulled forward alongside the house, and when I went forward to look out the window to see if it was somebody I knew, all of a sudden, a police car pulled in sharply behind them. So four young men got in a hurry out of the first car, and the officers jumped out of their car, and they talked for a while, and things looked a little tense. I wasn't sure what was going to happen, but eventually the officers got back in their car, and they pulled out, and they left these four young men standing on my side porch at 10 o'clock or 10:15 or so in the evening, just right outside my kitchen door, okay? So I happen to know some of the people who work for the police department in our city, so I made some phone calls, and I ended up talking with the detective who had been in my driveway addressing and talking with these four men, and he told me that they were attempting to make a drug bust, and it turned out that these four guys didn't have any drugs on them, and so they just got back in their car and they left. Now, the reason why they had left these four guys standing in the driveway, and I have this straight from the mouth of the detective who was there, is because these four men told the officers that they lived there. Now, in case there's any question, I live in my house. These four young men did not and do not. So, I'm not a small man, and I'm also probably not as cautious as I ought to be. So I walked over to my kitchen door. I made myself look as imposing as I could. I opened the door, and I walked onto my side porch, and I said, "Can I help you?" And they said, "Oh, sorry, we'll leave." And I thought, though I didn't say, "Yeah, you'll leave." And so they got in their car and they left. Now, the reason why I tell this story is very simply to point out that these four men did not belong there. And so when I opened the door, it was not to let them in, but to help them leave. They did not belong in my house. They had come to my house, but not in such a way that they were going to come in to my house. And our question this morning, again, is how must we come to Jesus if we are to enter into the kingdom of God? If we're not to be sent away, but to be received into the kingdom of God, how must we come? Look with me at Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they were bringing children to Jesus that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. May the Lord write his everlasting word on our hearts even this morning. So we remember that Jesus says, "Come to me." And our question this morning is, how must we come? From the four verses we just read, I want to identify two characteristics that must mark our coming to Jesus. First, we need to come to Jesus like little children. And second, we need to come to Jesus with little children. First, we must come to Jesus like little children. So people were bringing their children to Jesus. We don't know how old the children were or if they were all the same age, but we do know that when Luke records this event in Luke chapter 18, he uses the Greek word for infants. So it seems likely we're talking about infants here. Parents are bringing their babies to Jesus, as you just witnessed here at the baptismal font. We don't know why the disciples responded the way they did, but they rebuked the parents. Maybe they thought that Jesus was just too busy or too tired to be bothered with children right then. Or maybe they thought that children were not important enough to get time with Jesus. Maybe they thought, "Come back when you're older and can really understand the deep teachings of Jesus." They'd seen, after all, some of the smartest people in their nation listen to Jesus and misunderstand him. So if they couldn't understand as the religious leaders, what hope did the children have? Maybe they thought, "Come back when you're older and have some chance of understanding what Jesus has to say." But whatever the reason, the disciples would have turned the children and their parents away. The word used for rebuked here is the same as the word used later on in Mark 10 when the crowds, when the blind beggar Bartimaeus calls out to Jesus and says, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And the crowds rebuked him. Jesus surprised the crowds. He invited Bartimaeus to come to him and then he healed him, restoring his sight. And as he surprised them, so he surprises the disciples here, after they have rebuked the parents for trying to bring their children to Jesus. The same Jesus who was gentle and lowly in heart becomes indignant when he hears his disciples refusing the children. He is greatly displeased with his followers because they think that they are the doorkeepers of the kingdom of God. "No, no, no, you can't come in here. Try again when you're older." And Jesus looks at his disciples who should know better by this point, and he effectively says to them, "No, no, no. That's not your job. It is his house. It is his kingdom." And Jesus says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." And then he says something that must have surprised the disciples even more. "Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." So if we would receive and enter the kingdom of God, if we would come to Jesus, we must come like little children. What does that mean? Mark's gospel actually does not say a lot on this point, so we don't know what exactly Jesus meant or how the disciples understood Jesus, but I don't think that leaves us speechless. The basic answer, I think, is that we must come to Jesus acknowledging our neediness and confident that Jesus will mercifully meet our needs. Think about what babies are like. If your son or your daughter is hungry, does that child just hide it and wait for you to feel like feeding the child before it stops crying? The child just cries, indicates hunger, and then you come, right? The child expresses its neediness to its parents. And what about your granddaughter? If she wakes up in the middle of the night and is freezing cold, does she just wait patiently for you to come and pick her up and wrap her in swaddling clothes? No. Little children acknowledge their neediness. And at the same time, little children believe that their parents or grandparents can help them. There's not a thought in their minds that you don't have what they need. And when we come to Jesus, we acknowledge our neediness. So when we come to Jesus, we say, Jesus, I am ignorant. I don't know what's true. I don't know what's right. We say, Jesus, I am filthy in my sin and cannot clean myself up. Jesus, I am helpless before the temptations of the world, the attacks of my adversary, and the wiles of my own self. But while we come acknowledging our own neediness, we also come confident in the sufficiency of Christ to meet our needs. So we say, Jesus, I am ignorant. Be my prophet and teach me. Jesus, I am filthy in my own sin. Be my priest and wash me clean. We say, Jesus, I am helpless. Be my king and rule over and defend me. We must come to Jesus like little children, confident that he will receive us as such into his kingdom. Are there other ways we could come to Jesus? Of course there are. We could come to Jesus without recognizing our neediness. Maybe we think we already have what we need. Maybe we think we have some or most of what we need, and Jesus can supply whatever happens to be lacking. Maybe we come to Jesus the way we might go to hear an interesting lecture. Maybe he'll have something interesting to say, we think. Maybe we come to Jesus thinking that someone we know really needs his help, this other person. I need to get them here so they can hear about Jesus because they need his help. Maybe we come to Jesus not really interested in him, but more wanting something that he might show us or give us. Jesus is a sort of storekeeper from whom we might acquire spiritual trinkets. There are all sorts of ways we could come to Jesus. But Jesus says to his disciples, and he says to us, truly I say to you, unless you receive the kingdom of God like a little child, you will not enter it. If we do not come acknowledging our neediness, if we do not come confident in the ability of Jesus to meet our deep need with his own richness, then we cannot enter his house. So how do we respond to this? Very simply, we draw near to Jesus with open and empty hands, and we say in the words of the old hymn, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. How many of you are familiar, if you're a parent, I'm sure the answer is all of you. How many of you are familiar with the Jesus Storybook Bible? A good number of you. There's this particular telling of the story of Naaman the Syrian in that Bible, where this young Jewish girl has been kidnapped by the Syrian army, and all of a sudden Naaman, who's the captain of the army, falls sick. He has leprosy, and he doesn't know what to do. And this small Israelite girl says to him, there's a prophet in Israel whom you could go see. And so Naaman, against maybe his better judgment, goes to see the prophet Elisha. And Elisha says, like hardly even coming out of his door, he says, go wash in the Jordan River. And Naaman thinks, that's it? Shouldn't there be something more to it than that? Don't you see how important I am? I am the captain of the mightiest army in this region of the world. Can't I do something big and glorious in order to be cleansed? And Elisha says, that's it. Go wash in the Jordan and you'll be cleansed. And the Jesus Storybook Bible has this remarkable line where it says, all Naaman needed was nothing. It was the one thing he didn't have. And I think the same can be true. The same can be said of many of us. We come to Jesus thinking that we ought to need to do something more. Surely there's something that we need to bring, something remarkable that we need to do in order for Jesus to receive us. But all Jesus says is, come to me with nothing. I have everything. And so we come to Jesus and again say, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. So we need to come to Jesus as little children. But there's a second characteristic of our coming to Jesus. We must come to Jesus with little children. After all, this isn't just a made-up story, right? This isn't a hypothetical discussion about the posture that we need when we come to Jesus. Real parents were bringing real children to Jesus. So after Jesus tells his disciples and us that we must come to him like little children, he took the children in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. Some of us here are parents, and all of us are here this morning in a worshiping congregation that includes children. If you're here this morning and you're a kid of whatever age, if you're under 18, go ahead and look up here for me. There might be some people you will encounter who will say to you, I'm sure not in this church, but in some places you will encounter people who will say, wouldn't it be better for you to be somewhere else? Doing age-appropriate learning for the entirety of the worship service, worshiping in a way that is appropriate for you while the adults can kind of have their own time and do their own thing. And if an adult ever takes that posture with you or ever says something like that to you, all you need to say is this: listen, Jesus told me to come. Jesus wants me here. And it doesn't matter whether or not you do, because he does, and his voice matters more than yours. Jesus wants the children to come. He wants them here. If you're a parent here this morning, I know there are challenges to having your children with you in worship. It might mean that you can't take notes the way you want to. It might mean that you miss one of Pastor Stephen's points in his sermon. It might mean that you miss all of Pastor Stephen's points in his sermon. It might mean that you miss your favorite worship song or the celebration of the sacrament of the Lord's table because you need to oversee a bathroom break or three bathroom breaks. But listen, Jesus wants your children here. And I want you as parents to have not only a sense of the responsibility that you have before the Lord, but also of the high privilege that it is to shepherd children as they come to know the living God. Where else can children see the people of God gathered together to hear his word, to sing his praise, and to lift their voices to him in prayer? This is where your children will learn what it means to be part of the church. And more importantly, this is where your children will encounter our covenant-making, covenant-keeping God right alongside the rest of us. It's important for us as an assembly of God's people to see that adults and children belong in worship together and need one another in worship together. When children look at adults, they are reminded that in time, God calls them to become mature men and women in Christ. And when adults look at children, we are reminded that we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we receive it like little children. How will we receive the kingdom of God, which we cannot see, if we will not receive the children whom we can see? If we refuse to bring little children into worship with us, we may find ourselves on the stinging end of a rebuke from Jesus who says, "Let the children come to me." Let me say, last of all, that in obedience to this passage, we should have a healthy concern for the spiritual well-being of the children of our church and the children of this region. Whether we are parents, whether we are single men and women, or whether we are empty nesters, Jesus, our Lord, invites children to come to him and to receive his blessing now. And so the question that I want to ask you, the question I want you to consider is, how are you, as a member of the household of God, helping children to come to Jesus? In Psalm 78, the psalmist says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and the wonders that he has done." Notice what the psalmist says. He speaks to the people of God and says, "You have heard about the glorious deeds of the Lord from your own fathers and mothers who were faithful in their day." And then he effectively asks the people of God, "Will we now be faithful in our own day?" Will we, in our turn, tell those younger than us about the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done? Will you tell the children about Jesus? And will you tell them that Jesus invites them to come to him? If you're a parent, please do not ignore the command of our Lord to let the children come to me. This doesn't mean only bringing them to church or to Sunday morning classes. This means teaching them and modeling for them the faith that we ourselves have received from those who have gone before us. This means when you are at home, you talk about Jesus. You talk about the Christian life. You pray together. You sing together. This means you talk about the faith entrusted to all the saints when you wake up in the morning, when you're driving your car, when you're sitting down for meals, and when you're settling in for bed. This means reading scripture together as a family. This means praying together as a family. This means teaching your children the great articles of our faith, whether through catechisms or confessions of faith or through something else. And listen, I know this can sound overwhelming. I know that parenting includes as much failure as it does success, and sometimes it feels like a whole lot more failure than it feels like success. If you need support or ideas or anything else, talk to Pastor Stephen, talk to Katie, even talk to me, like after the service if you want to. My prayer, again, is that you will know both the responsibility and the privilege of telling the coming generation the glorious deeds of our Lord, of telling the coming generation that Jesus invites them to come to him. And if you're here in this congregation this morning and you don't have kids with you at home, either because you don't have children or because your children have grown up and you are now empty nesters, I invite you to see that our Lord has given you children in this church. This church, in a deep sense, that we have only begun to understand, is the family of the living God, the sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, and the brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the home of the Spirit of God. And so when you look around at the children of this church, consider how the Lord Jesus might invite you to look upon them as your spiritual children, how the Lord might invite you to be to them spiritual mothers and fathers, whether that means praying for them or teaching them in Sunday morning classes or serving in vacation Bible school or even just getting to know them and encouraging them after worship on a Sunday morning. Consider how you can bring the children with you when you draw near to the Lord Jesus. So the gospel of the kingdom calls us to behold a Lord who is gentle and lowly in heart, a Lord who invites us to come to him like little children, a Lord who invites us to come to him with little children. Do you hear the heart of our Lord Jesus beating for you? Do you sense the deep love of our Lord for you and for all those gathered here? Do you hear the warm and insistent voice of our Lord Jesus saying, come to me? And so we come, knowing that we have a great need for Christ, knowing that we have a great Christ for our need. Let's pray. Almighty God, we remember that your word is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. We remember that like the spring rains that water the earth, spring rains that do not return without having done the work they fell for, so your word accomplishes your purposes in our hearts and in our midst. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that you who are the true prophet of the church would speak to each one of us by your Spirit. Impress the truth of your word on our hearts, in order that we might be transformed further into your own image. Thank you, Lord, that your promise, which has been true for ages past, is true today, that you who began a good work in us will surely complete it at the day of Jesus Christ. Continue that work in each one of our hearts, even now. And Lord, if there are any in our midst who have not yet received and rested upon Jesus alone for salvation, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them now to your loving embrace in order that they might know the rest that only the Lord Jesus can give. For he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light, and surely you will find rest for your souls. We pray in his name and for his glory. Amen.